Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode number 56, The Exploding Citizens. Probably my single favorite story title of any of the Superman issues so far.
What a concept.
Hello and welcome to the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Steven. And 1,000 miles over there to my right is another host, Mr. Ed Moore.
I am not exploding. I'm not. That's kind of gross.
That's good. It's you know, I think that's a personal goal that everybody should set for themselves, to not explode.
To not explode. Yes.
Yep.
What is it? Is it Life of Brian or History of the World? The big fat, I can't eat another
That
point.
Is Monty Python and the Meaning of Life.
Meaning of Life. Okay.
And he eats a mint. Mr. Creosote. Yes.
A mint.
A wafer thin mint.
Pardon me, monsieur. A wafer thin mint.
And then that blows up.
Yep. That's all it was. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought that was one of the grossest scenes I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Movie.
Oh, yeah. And they've often told the story when they first, it's a Terry Jones, Michael Palin written sketch. And when they brought it to the group, John Cleese was very much against it. He thought it was a little too over the top. It was gross. He didn't find anything funny about it. And then the next morning calls up Terry Jones and says, you know what? I've been thinking about this Mr. Creosote sketch. And I think it's pretty good. I think we should do it. And Terry Jones says that, I think that John Cleese realized that the waiter, which he plays in the sketch, is actually the funniest part of the sketch. The wafer thin mint. And that's, you know, he wanted to play that character.
It's only a wafer thin.
Did I ever tell you the story about a number of years back, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, John Cleese came to Topeka. He was on a book tour, and they had this thing going on at this theater in Topeka where my brother-in-law bought tickets, had one of them for me, and said I could bring one of the kids. I ended up taking Palin. And it was a screening of the Holy Grail. And then after the Holy Grail, John Cleese came out with the moderator and answered questions.
Wow. Okay.
And we were literally front row center, which meant we spent the entire time watching the movie, all, you know, their heads all the way back.
At the screen.
It was probably the most fun I've ever had watching that movie. I think it's the first time I saw the movie in a theater. I've seen it millions of times, but when you watch it in a theater of people who love the movie just as much as you do, it's such a different experience. But the best part of the night, because basically they had stuff out front in the lobby where you could write down questions and you put it in a box, and then they took those questions and they asked him. But there was at one point he was talking about marriage and children, and he starts just going off about how kids are just terrible. They're the worst. He doesn't understand why anybody would, you know, he's got a couple kids, but doesn't understand why anybody would want to have a kid because they're just terrible. And as he's saying that, he looks down and there's Palin sitting next to me, and she's going like this. She goes, "Ugh." And so in mid sentence, he's like, "Kids are the most terrible." And he goes, "Not you, dear. You're wonderful." And then just keeps talking again. And I'm like, "Holy crap, John Cleese talked to you.
He recognized my daughter."
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
All right. I don't know. I think I'm bantered out. I was thinking throughout the day different things that I was going to want to talk about for banter. You know, a number of episodes back, I talked about two podcasts that I've been binging, the Legends of the Old West and Infamous America. Still not caught up on the two of those. Still been just been binging the crap out of them. Okay. A lot of really fun stuff. Fun as in crazy, murdery type stories and whatnot. And I found out that the guy who hosts it recently wrote a book that's coming out this month. That is, it's a nonfiction. It's called something like the Summer of 1876, and it's just about these various stories that happened during the summer of 1876 that involved like Buffalo Bill Cody and Wild Bill Hickok, Wyatt Earp and Bat Masterson and Dodge City, just all these things that most people know that just happened to kind of overlap during this one summer in, of 76. And he it sounds like a pretty interesting book. And I happen to have a credit on Audible, so I'm probably going to use that when it comes out later in the month. So looking forward to that.
I have a quick overlap story then.
Okay.
I have found out that in history, several members of his gang, including his older brother, visited Princeton. I'll tell you who he is. Visited Princeton here in West Virginia, the city that I'm in, checked out their bank to rob it, found out it was not worth it, so they moved on. That was Billy the Kid's gang.
Nice. Yes.
So in scouting the eastern part of the country here, looking for places, they came through Princeton. Yeah. Nah. Yeah. And moved on. So
yeah, I found out through Infamous America that Bonnie and Clyde robbed a bank in Lawrence, Kansas. Stayed at the Eldridge Hotel, which is still standing. It's a famous, you know, it's the Quantrill burned the Eldridge down, and it's, you know, they rebuilt it. It's still there. People still stay there.
There
but yeah, there was a part in the episode where they talked about them going to Lawrence, Kansas and staying the night at the Eldridge and then robbing the bank the next morning.
As Bonnie and Clyde were wont to do.
Yes. Yes, they were. Did you ever see, do you got Netflix?
Yes.
Have you watched The Highwaymen with
no.
Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson?
Yeah, I know it, but yeah, no, we haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's good. Put that on your list. It's the those are the Fred Hamer, I think is the guy's name, the lawman that came out of retirement, and he's the guy that gunned down Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde? Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, you ready to talk about this issue or this story?
Story number two, yes, sir.
Story number two, The Exploding Citizens. I just love that title.
Wow.
It's the, and it, you know, it means what it says.
Yes, it is on the nose.
Yeah, it's not a euphemism for anything.
Nope.
This is the second story to appear in Superman number 7, written by Jerry Siegel. Penciled by Joe Shuster and Wayne Boring. Kind of the same thing with the previous story. It looks more probably Wayne Boring than it does Joe Shuster.
Yeah.
Definitely inked by Wayne Boring. Superman number 7 has a cover date of November, December, 1940, but an on sale date of September 10th, 1940, according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics. And let me tell you what happened in this story. Superman travels to Gay City. Something that would mean something complete. If you heard that today, that would mean something completely different.
Yep.
Superman goes to Gay City, where the townspeople have suddenly become brittle as glass. After saving some from deadly collisions, Superman visits Commissioner Stanley, who tips him off to Gargoyle Towers, the suspected source of the malady. There's some great names in this, you know, the name of the story, the
man.
Name of the city, the name of this Gargoyle Towers. Great names. The building turns out to be a trap, but Superman locates another building which seems to be emitting invisible rays from within. While Superman visits the building and finds an evil scientist, Kotzoff, Lois Lane arrives in town and is affected by the malady as well. Superman forces the scientist and his associates to turn over the antidote, which he uses to help Lois. Then he returns to look for the commissioner. Stanley attempts to escape by plane, but the Man of Steel brings him down. Superman is then doused with Kotzoff's gas, which knocks him out, and the police take him into custody. When he revives, Superman breaks out, captures the crooks, forcing them to confess, and spreads the antidote through the town. What did you think about this one?
I thought this gave me definite Twilight Zone night gallery kind of vibes.
Yes.
That's exactly how it felt, like one of those shows.
When I put all the notes together first before I read any of these stories. So I'm putting the show notes together and I get to this one. I go, the exploding citizens, that's gotta mean maybe a bunch of angry people. They're exploding with rage.
Right.
Yeah. And then I get to the second panel of the first page, you know, after you get past the splash page. And literally two people bump into each other and explode.
Yes.
They're turning. It's so funny because they're turning into glass. They bump into each other. They shatter. And then everybody's like, don't move. We got to not bump into each other. And everybody just kind of stops moving. But yet we see a car collision and the people inside each car explode, causing one of the cars to run wild and hit somebody and they explode
into the crowd. Yes.
Yeah. Look at that panel. It looks like body parts are just flying all over the place.
Yes. Yes.
Craziness. Wow. We get a radio announcer, citizens of Gay City, pay close attention. Stay in your homes. Do not dare move. Bump into something and you just explode. That's some scary stuff.
And we find out because of Lois that you don't even necessarily have to bump into anything.
Yeah.
You know, her hands starts happening to her that it's like, well, we didn't see anyone else, you know, experiencing it that way.
Yep.
Now here, like the first story of tonight's recording, but not like the middle story, they fridge her, right? They purposely put her in danger to motivate Superman, though he doesn't need any more motivation than he already has.
Right.
But it adds a weight to why he, again, not that he needs weight. I don't know why they felt it necessary to do that to her.
Yeah. You know, it's the only reason I can think of is why they would bring her into the story and do that to her is so maybe that gives the reader more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, it's the reader, you know, you're reading this and you're like, oh my gosh, people are blowing up, but I'm not really that emotionally involved in these strangers, but oh my gosh, it's happening to Lois too. So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
It gives the reader maybe a little bit more personal involvement in the story. Because it's not really going to happen to Superman at this point. This would have been a good story to do something like that to Superman to make you wonder,
right?
Is Superman going to survive this? But
is he truly invulnerable if he falls prey to something like this? On the my page numbers are gone. The page where we see Lois telling Perry that she's not going to go, and then she goes.
Yeah.
At the bottom of that page, the first panel, another speedy moving Superman in a different kind of way than what we have seen before.
Yeah, in silhouette.
Yeah, he's moving so quickly
that
we can't see him clearly. Yeah.
Yep. Through the fleecy clouds whizzes the Man of Tomorrow like a runaway meteor. I'm saying that wrong.
Then we have a
trolley car that is stopped on railroad tracks, never seen that before, but
yeah,
Superman only picks up the trolley car to get it out of the way. He then grabs the back of
the train itself to stop it. Yeah. And he has to stop the train.
I was looking at this second panel on this page with the two guys talking to each other. It was terrible to see the train bearing down on us, blah, blah, blah. And there's a hat sitting on the seat next to one of the guys and there's smoke coming out of it. And I looked at that going, what's going on with that hat? But then the next panel is the engineer's compartment and there's smoke in there. And I realized that was somebody sitting next to that dude that has exploded.
Right. Yeah. It's I didn't think it smoked. I thought it was just a pile of the ash that they turn into.
Yeah. Craziness.
But and these two guys are talking like, you know, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah, don't worry about the guy that exploded like, next to us.
Yeah, the dude just disappeared who was sitting next to you, man. Come on. Have some compassion.
The next page, the panel, first panel, second row of the explosion, hurtling Superman. That looks, that's a really good panel.
Blowing his cape over his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, away from,
That's a nice panel. That's done very well.
And something like this, what this tells me is that they actually stopped a minute and thought, what would this look like if it were happening? And I need to draw it, you know, that way, however accurately that would be. Because that's, to me, that's what that looks like, is an attempt to be very accurate with that situation rather than some, you know, fanciful, I'm doing a comic book kind of thing. It's like, no, let's make this real.
And then it looks like Superman kills somebody with a big steel I-beam.
Yeah, you see that? They didn't say anything about that.
He's the mighty mass over his shoulder and onto the empty lot across the street, but it's not an empty lot. There's people standing there.
Are those bad guys? I guess they
I'm assuming so, because the third panel in the top row, it's the same area. The two guys, because there's a, that's like one of the, a billboard. And the one guy saying, blow it up.
Now blow it up. That's okay. The dynamiters. So it's them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's them that gets squished. Okay.
But still, that's pretty dark,
Clark. So they just get their payback. That's all. They deserved it. Had it coming.
And then the next page, we get another panel of people blowing up. And just the way that that's drawn, it just, with the explosion in the middle, you really get the sense of arms and legs flying across the room.
Yes.
They're just really not pulling any punches with this one.
Nope. And see, it's those kind of images and just the concept of being made of something so brittle that if you move, you'll just fall apart. That's what makes me think some kind of Twilight Zone episode that the people are succumbing to whatever this is.
Yep. Now, it does show that when Lois hits the door with her hand, it's almost like they're saying, as Lois's hand accidentally strikes against the door, there comes the sound of tinkling glass. And I don't know if that means she didn't realize her hand was turning into glass until she hit the door, or there's something about that kinetic thing that
could be either one.
Yeah. But she does. There is a moment here where she kind of moves, isn't it? Is it the same page? No, it's a couple pages later. She reaches into her purse to get some gum. And it's not quite clear, but as she raises her arm, that's when she can't put her hand down or her whole arm may fall off.
Fall to the floor. Yeah. It's like, dude, that. Yeah.
And yeah, this guy cuts off. Is this guy mentioned at all before we meet him in the story? This scientist cuts off. He says cuts off the long missing scientist.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't remember
his name coming up.
Nope. Or that there was a scientist missing in the news or anything like that. I mean, they didn't throw that out at us anywhere.
I was kind of trying to scan through here and see if that came up at any point, but
the long missing scientist, you know, unless this is a continuity thing from at some point back.
Yeah. Just, I can't see them doing that.
At this point, though, you don't know, because they're introducing more and more things like this.
Yep. Superman sees the rays emitting from a building. His X-ray vision reveals a gruesome sight. Workers in a generating plant being shaken to bits by the vibrating generators. Mm-hmm. That's creepy. And he discovers this long missing scientist who do we get any reason why? I don't remember if there's any motivation behind why Kotsoff wants these people to turn into glass and explode.
It's a real estate scam.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. they'd be able to then buy up all the real estate cheap. And then when everybody forgets after a while, oh yeah, that, well, I don't remember people blowing up in this town. Let's start buying up some, buy a house here.
That is hardcore, man. But yeah, that's, that's all. It's just a real estate scam.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Seems like a long way to go to buy up some land and buy land cheap and sell it high. That's, you know, and then come to find out that it's the mayor. Is that what he was? That ultimately was behind? No, the commissioner.
Yeah, commissioner.
Was ultimately behind the steering of what to do and how to do it and everything like that. So I guess the scientist disappeared long ago and has been working on this that whole time. I guess that's why he disappeared to be able to do this.
But yeah, this one, I think art wise, I don't think it looks good. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it looks as good as the previous story here in Superman.
No,
but it looks so much better than when Joe was just doing it by himself. We get Superman holding people under his arms, one on each side. We get one of those moments.
Yep. Yet again, we should have been counting those things.
Yeah, we really should have been.
That happens much more frequently now than the hanging by the ledge thing.
But we do have a moment where we get worried for Superman for maybe two panels because he gets hit with that ray or whatever that zaps his strength and he goes unconscious, and so they chain him up and throw him in the jail. And
which is
panels later, he's breaking out. So
the second time this has happened in our readings, one of those glowy balls actually knocked him out, and he had to recover from that.
Yeah, because I remember him saying to himself, "What he doesn't know is that my strength has returned."
Right. Yeah.
You know.
So he did. I thought at first when I saw that he was faking, which he has done in the past.
Yes.
But it's like, nope, this one got him, but he recovered quickly to full Supermanishness, if that's a word. Well, it is now. So,
but this one, yeah, I think you describing it as Twilight Zone or Night Gallery is right on the money. Because it's not quite, I mean, it's science fiction, of course, because we have this, you know, what's happening to these people because a mad scientist has created this formula, this ray or gas or whatever. But yeah, but before you learn that, it's very much, it's almost like a Stephen King type of thing. People
right,
are just suddenly bumping into each other and turning into glass and exploding. And that's
the car wrecks and the car careening into the crowd, the two workers. And it's like,
they handled
kind of stuff.
Exactly. They handled it very well because they don't explain why it's happening. And that's almost more terrifying than the fact that it's happening, you know? So yeah, really like that. The three stories we did tonight, you know, all really good stuff. And it makes me worry for what's coming next.
Well,
we're just going to get some crap, but.
Well, I was going to say, we can just hope that they don't go down, that we've hit another cool plateau and that it continues for a while before it elevates, you know, here in the future. Some point soon, they have to start giving us more of these characters that will become supervillains for him. Through the course of time. We really haven't encountered but one. Really up to this point.
Well,
so
Ultra Humanite and Luther, that's it.
Well, but even Ultra Humanite disappears for.
Yeah. For until the next comic book age.
Yes. Oh no.
Yeah. We're talking about that again.
We can't.
I will say that your
earbuds won't stand it.
Yeah. Yeah. When I got to the last page of this story though, and I swipe over to the first page of the next story, I'm quite intrigued.
I didn't look at the next one. Let me see. Why? Because he's holding the car? Or because they're throwing stuff at him? Throwing grenades, I guess?
Yeah, they're up in the air. He's holding a car over his head, and the gangsters in the car throwing grenades.
Throwing a grenade under the car to try to get. Yeah, I guess. Well, if we suddenly start dropping, we'll know that we got him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I'm in a car and a superhero is holding me aloft in the air, the last thing I want to do is take him out.
Yeah, you know? You might want to leave that alone.
Yeah. Let's get to the ground first.
Yeah, let's hold back. Let's figure out what we're going to do, but you know.
Well, we'll talk about that next time. That's a little tease.
Yeah. A couple weeks.
But I was saying I'm worried about what we're going to get next, but just looking at that page makes me feel like we're going to get some more good stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully it'll stay.
I mean, it looks good. It's very, a very well-drawn page. So we're probably sticking with Wayne Boring or Jack Burnley at that point. So,
a little bit of research shows that in the Superman, the Superman books, not action, but in the Superman books, we have been seeing ads for the radio program also in the comic book.
Cool.
This one had an ad for the Return of the Yellow Mask, which is beginning October 7th. And they have a little write-up about what that, a little summation here on the ad.
And if any of you are interested in hearing any of those old radio programs, I would suggest the Superman Radio Revisited podcast, in which your host plays for you in each episode, episode of the radio show, and then talks about it afterwards. I'm very behind on that.
Good stuff. Very entertaining.
But it's really good stuff. I really enjoy those episodes. And, it's taken me a while to get used to the guy who does the voice of both Clark and Superman. It's just not what I hear in my head when I hear, you know, he doesn't seem as deep as I would think Superman would be, but it's definitely a different Superman than what we get in these stories. The radio Superman is a different, it's a different universe. It's a different guy altogether almost. And Clark in those radio episodes that I have listened to is he's not kind of the milksop that he has to pretend to be in these comic book stories.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that.
He tends to not take crap from people like he does. I got a kitty cat visitor.
We have a visit.
Now he's leaving.
Yeah, my two have stayed away pretty much. I think I really don't have anything else to add to this one.
I don't either. Very happy with these, with the three stories we talked about tonight.
Yeah.
Great art.
A lot of fun
stories. It's like suddenly everything just jumped up a notch.
Yep.
You know, that chef that used to be on TV came in and went, bam!
Emeril Lagasse.
Emeril. Yeah. He was always kicking it up a notch. Bam!
It's kicking it up a notch. Yep.
Let's kick this up a notch. And I think wait a minute.
Here we go. Here we go, Steven.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. here's my visitor. Been sitting here too long.
That's funny.
Come over here, baby. I'm almost done.
We each had cats make an appearance on the show.
Yep.
All right. Wrap this sucker up then. I want to thank everybody for listening this episode. Until next week, folks, I'm falling asleep, and I'm Steven, and that's Ed. This was a Superman Super Show.
Ciao.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Superman Super Show. Questions and comments can be directed to the Superman Super Show at gmail.com. You can follow the show on Twitter under the handle at Supes Super Show. That's at SUPS Super Show. And continue the conversation at the Super Show Forum at forums.justanotherfanboy.com. We also encourage you to rate the show wherever available and share this podcast with a friend. All links will be in the show notes.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Go.
Doug, you still sticking with us? And are you going to be there on Thursday for Comic Addiction, The Return?
Boom Addiction.
Boom Addiction. His original podcast was Comic Addiction. That's what started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no Boom Addiction without Comic Addiction.
I was the one that talked him into doing Boom Addiction.
Yeah.
He had a whole addiction franchise. Wildstorm, Savage Dragon, X, Image, Comic.
And I feel like there's still, isn't there still a podcast out there that uses the name that he just,
I don't know. The Wildstorm Addiction guys went to YouTube, and they still might call themselves Wildstorm Addiction. I'm not sure. But I'm still here. I'll try to be there for Boom Addiction. I didn't know it was coming back. Oh,
yeah. I just found out about it today, man.
It's been all over Twitter. Thursday night at 9, we're supposed to get together and film/record the first episode of season 4 of the show.
9/8 Central. I'm going to try to be there. I don't think I have anything going on that night, but I could be in the middle of editing or.
Hell, you can come in anytime. We'll probably be at it for a couple hours. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. I am recording. You ready to do this third one?
I'm good to go.
Okay. This one, I'll just say right now has I'll say it when we get in.
Boys and girls, your attention, please. Don't miss the next installment of Superman.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.